For May the 2nd, 2018, we talk about Metal Gear Survive's strange monetization scheme, Doom, and we ask you about free play multiplayer. Welcome to Level 232. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Myswith.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. That was take number 32, I think, to get that, that intro order right.
Yeah, the bulk of our recording time is actually on the intro.
Yeah. We want to really hit it. Yeah. You need to make sure your opening sentence is strong and your pitch.
It's all about first impressions.
Yeah, you win or lose them in the first. Well, I generally do about 15 seconds of pre-roll in the first 30 seconds of an episode.
Yeah, you usually win or lose them in like the first 250 episodes of the podcast.
Too. Yeah. After that, you're golden. You're co-hosting. So, looking forward to when we get syndicated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a lot of like any like business stuff or real banter up at the top.
I got some shit to say.
Yeah, well, then say so. Do
I will say the thing. So this weekend I went to a 6-hour rucking event, and I got second place for number of miles that I went in the 6 hours I was rucking. And I was only in second place because I talked to people, surprising no one. And one of the various people that I talked to ended up with a big bunch of leg cramps, and so I had to like basically doctor him and teach him stretches and pull him to the side and do all that. And then I continued on, and then I met another lady, and then she was sick, and so I had to stop with her too. So I stopped with various people along the way, and that's why I was second instead of first. But anyway, I was heavy rucking, and so that was fun.
The tortoise and the good Samaritan.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I remember that one.
Yeah. Watching a McGee and Me video about it.
Wow, that takes me back.
So I did that thing, and also, as you will hear all about in my grind, I got that Switch I was mentioning other week. So that's the thing. You'll hear about it. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Well, I let me see here. I love my Switch a lot. So you have it's probably at the bottom of an ocean. I'm gonna say not the nearest ocean. What's the most hateful ocean that it can go in?
I love it. You know, the thing is that, like, all right, I understand that it is now kind of like everybody kind of braces whenever I say I've gotten something and I'm playing something, because yeah, they're just like, what kind of shit is she going to say? You know, the thing is that, like, with every single thing I touch, no matter if I love it or not, I always have both negative and positive things to say. So you can anticipate that you will have a nice balance of the two when I get to that point.
Just playing into the joke or playing into the meme. Yeah.
See, that's an important life lesson, though. I learned a long time ago that being being balanced and fair-minded is just not the way to get through life.
Yeah.
That way everyone hates you.
Well,
pick a lane and gun it.
So far, I don't think people hate me for my strong opinions or anything. I mostly just get people going, Jala, why do you hate this thing? You know, or you know, like, you haven't played enough of the thing yet. And I'm like, damn it. How many hours do I need to play of this before it gets good? I don't know about that. I don't know if I have tolerances for that thing.
I have a question about rucking real quick. So is there an anthem for the sport? Like, is there something everybody kind of sings? Like, is it like Let Her Cry or Only Want to Be With You? Like anything by Hootie and the Blowfish?
No.
Oh, I was figuring because their lead singer is Darius Rucker.
No.
Deep Pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just no. I will think about that the next time I put on my ruck to go somewhere and do a thing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now that's going to be in my head.
Yep. Yeah. All the time now. Nice guy. My grandpa used to golf with him.
If I ever organized a rucking event, the finish line would say the ruck stops here.
Well, there are lots of ruck you, ruck up, kind of jokes. It's all over the place. That's the thing.
My sense is the fitness communities are kind of like dog grooming businesses. They've probably mined every single pun.
For sure. And then what's fun to me is that like every single fitness community that I end up becoming a part of has all of their little quirks. And, you know, like you get a certain type of person that gravitates very often towards those activities. And like, they're never the type of people that I am. I'm always the odd one out no matter what. Like for rucking, it's almost all military guys. Or if they're not military guys, they're guys who hate running, but they want some kind of cardio. There's a lot of power lifters and stuff like that. You know, you've got people who hunt or do stuff like that. And I'm fucking vegan. So, I am like completely the opposite of what anybody who rucks is.
Yeah.
And I'm out there doing the thing. So you're
running alongside people who are trained to carry a carcass long distances.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So.
Huh. Well, that's cool. Congratulations on your result.
Yahoo.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? What's going on? Hey, Ben, you're muted.
I am. Sorry. My fingers were not quick enough to hit the shortcut. Not much. I've been dog sitting kind of the last couple of days, which has been nice. Yeah. So I've been taking some of the dogs on walks and taking them to restaurants and stuff and hanging out with them. So that's been fun.
Hey, can you give me some stats on them dogs?
How many dogs?
There's the cuteness scale. One of them's like a 1.5 and the other one's like a 9.2. Both of them, those are on scales of 100 though. So it's kind of bad. No, there's like one tiny like Japanese Spitz dog that's really cute, and then there's one that's like
Spitz. My sister used to have one of those. I loved her. She was adorable. Sorry, continue.
They're like tiny Eskimo dogs. They're really cute.
They're puffy white cotton balls.
Oh, they're like little clouds. They're like stringier Samoyeds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're adorable.
Yeah.
And then the other one's a pound dog. And so it's very unfortunate because the one dog can get along really well with other dogs and in public, so we can take her out. And then the pound dog just ruins everything when you take him out, like steals other dogs' toys, tries to lick other people. So,
I have a friend who he's one of my running group guys. He's an ultra runner. He's run 100 plus mile races. And he also is a graphic designer, but he recently left his graphic designer job to open up his own dog kennel / grooming / boarding place. And so, like, that's his place. I just linked it. And it's super cute. He puts all these different photos and videos of all the dogs that are out there all the time. And, like, they're just all adorable. And I love following his stuff because he's always copiously putting all the pictures and videos of these cute little fluppies and, you know, like all of them playing and just everything else. And you can really tell that he's just like adores these dogs.
Does he have dog puns on his website?
Oh, I'm sure he does. But because he's also he's got that graphic design background, he's also a photographer. So like some of the photos and stuff he takes are really primo. So
I want to know the trick to get a dog to look into the camera, because every time I've tried to take a picture of a dog, they are really indifferent. They end up looking at the
treats.
Yeah, hold a treat
by the camera.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, look at all these sweethearts.
I know my parents always claim that when they were selecting a dog to show, their secret was to find the stupidest dog you could, because a stupid dog wouldn't figure out how to misbehave.
like a dog that would be too stupid to be independent.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, I need to close this tab because these
yeah, you're going to just scroll through all of Wagon World.
Yeah, these boys and girls are way too sweet.
They are adorable.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. Getting some good quality dog time in.
Yay.
Yeah. And David, how about you?
Not too much. Hanging out. I hope never to hear another firework.
Yeah.
I was going to say, hearing is now restored.
we have now passed the month-long celebration of Chinese New Year.
Exactly. Other than that, I was actually talking with you guys about it earlier, but I set up a computer program to attempt to transcribe the level, and it ended up interestingly.
We should just post those alongside episodes.
See, unfortunately, like I wanted to do the entire episode, but it takes forever. So I need to figure out a way to like cut down on the memory usage. But
Does that have to be encoded in WAVE, or can it take in MP3s?
It has to be an uncompressed file format.
Yeah,
so
it'll chew through memory. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. So, yeah. But apparently, this is, you know, February 2018.
For February 23rd of 2018, we talk about some Here Are the Dog celebrations. Play and we ask you by your name, your characters and games. We'll go to local to level 131 and Thad, and my name is Quarles on Ministerial. I'm David Maurice Brooks on Uncle, and you're listening to the local looks upon Casper people who both video games.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree wholeheartedly.
So apparently it's Year of the Dog and Year of the Tina.
Hey.
So my actual long-term goal is to, if I can get this working fairly well, to then set up a neural network and train it on the audio and then our level titles, and mm-hmm. see if I can predict it, get it to predict what we'll name each episode.
just get a list of potential machine generated names.
Wow. Yep. Yeah.
We also have finalists for names recorded as well, so you have a lot of information there.
Yeah, you have a good corpus of data going, man. Yeah. Well, cool. That's keep me apprised of how that goes, because I love. Oh. Go ahead.
What I like about Toadie, by the way, is I like to go through them and try to remember who in the hell said it, or who it sounds like probably said that. You know, that's the thing that I like doing the most, is trying to backtrack and remember. And some of them I remember very distinctly, and other ones I have no idea. Yeah. And, you know, of course, then there's the ones where it's like, okay, that totally sounds like Cole. Yeah. Okay, that's David. That's Ben, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to have distinct styles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that seems like some banter. I really don't have any stories to share. I was just at a pleasant weekend at home with my family, which doesn't make for a good podcast. So. Yep. And I'm never going to do it again. that would be incredibly sad. I like my family. But what I also like is doing a regular kind of show. We got the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world around us. Jala, I was thinking about bringing this story, but I want you to bring it. I want you to say what is going on with this Papers, Please movie.
Yeah, so isn't a lot to say, really. Papers, Please has inspired a 10-minute film adaptation. All of 10 minutes. And that fits within my 15-minute time span of how long I will sit and watch anything without any interaction. So this works. All right. Where you can watch it on... What?
I thought that was just 1984 was the Papers, Please movie.
Not so much migration happening in 1984. You get the sense that it doesn't really matter there.
Yeah. Good point.
They are both dystopian, but anyway, so you can watch this on YouTube and on Steam for free. It is in Russian, but YouTube version at least has subtitles in 22 different languages. And I watched it because it was within my time span of stuff I will watch. So it doesn't have the repetitive mindlessness that you guys that actually played it kind of described, or at least how I remember you guys describing it. And I don't know if you guys necessarily use those words, but due to the length of the film, though, it's a sort of instant gratification or disaster kind of situation. So it doesn't have like the kind of long longevity of the game, I guess, because of how short the format is. But it's not. There's not much to say other than the fact that it's well produced and it's short, so go watch the thing.
Is it at all associated with the developers? Does it have their blessing, or is this just a pure fan film?
I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. The article didn't mention, and I couldn't find anything else on it. Just from like the cursory glance of stuff I was doing. Mostly, I was trying to type some little keyword notes about all the shit I'm going to say in the grind. So I didn't focus too much on this. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, understood. Yeah. Nope.
Oh, apparently the people who made it actually were are Russian. The ones...
huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well then it might...
I would not be wanting to make this movie in Russia right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I also wouldn't want to make it in America.
Yeah.
Less people disappear here.
Yeah, I suppose. I want to revisit this because I'd been thinking about going back and playing Papers, Please again, because I only got like one ending in it. And I know there's some variability.
Oh, I didn't realize they even had like an actual ending. I thought it was just like kind of a kill screen type thing where it just got harder and harder until eventually your family starved.
No, you can. Yeah, there are endings. There are stories and different That's decisions cool. about who you let through, take you into different pathways and stuff.
I did not know that. It's a game that sounds very interesting to me insofar as the premise is concerned, but which would probably depress me or frustrate me just from the gameplay aspects of it,
right,
to the point that I just wouldn't like it. So like that's why I never played it, is just because I didn't want to flip a table about it, although like I'm glad it exists, but I don't want to play it.
yeah it definitely so. I mean, it is like as a story, as a, you know, as a piece of messaging, it is all about the banality of evil and the way that systems dehumanize people, and that is inherently upsetting.
yep
yeah. So, I've got a story here before we get onto this crazy thing that Ben brought. just another shorty to pair up with Jaws. Warcraft 3 got a patch, which is very strange and has people speculating about what Blizzard is going to do, because Blizzard, despite the fact that they've been relatively prolific with Overwatch and Hearthstone and been settled into those kind of ongoing titles along with World of Warcraft, people still really jump up and pay attention to Blizzard, like in a way that is usually reserved for Valve. But yeah, Warcraft 3, been out for 15 years now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
15 or 16 years. They put out a patch that enables widescreen, and also upped the size of lobbies to 24, and they're even holding a tournament. So this has people thinking that maybe Blizzard is fainting toward some kind of Warcraft 4, maybe an HD remake of Warcraft 3, like they did for StarCraft, or are doing for StarCraft. And this didn't really get any like press at all. They just kind of put it out on their forums. So I look at this and I think, why in the world would Blizzard ever again put out a game that was just a thing in a box, or a thing that you bought once, like for a big campaign? They
have souls?
No, I'm just saying. Like, no, I mean, like,
nope.
what incentive is there for them to put out something that would qualify as a Warcraft 4 to the people who see this news and think, hey, here's a Warcraft 4 coming?
I think it's like one of those things like with Valve, it's like when you just make so much money, it's kind of like you just work on whatever you want to work on at that point. Yeah. So it's like if they want to do it, then they could, you know.
Wait, yeah, but that would imply that Valve, you know, actually still made games.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I could have used that widescreen mod when we did it for WoW, but.
No. Damn you.
Oh, well.
I know. So the last couple games they've made have been what? Overwatch and Diablo 3, right?
Yeah. Overwatch kind of qualifies as being a thing in a box, but that is primarily monetized, I think, by loot boxes now. And then Diablo 3, that was 5 years ago that they put that out. And they've just kind of been, they did that one expansion, and then they've been re-releasing it and doing like patches and stuff. But like, other than that, you know, their game as a service model for Hearthstone and for World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's I've been reading some about that with is anyone doing Metal Gear Survive, so that I don't swoop there.
Yeah, we should do that. We should transition, unless there's anything more to say about Warcraft 3, because that is what Ben's story is about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Ben, what's going on with Metal Gear Survive?
Yeah, so Metal Gear Survive came out this last weekend, which is the updated, or I guess it's the next in the Metal Gear franchise, kind of, but it's the first game that's not made through Kojima Productions, so it's different. There's zombies in the game. Not 100% sure. It's like you're... I'm not 100% sure on the plot, so I don't want to say too much. It's like you're on the outer layer of hell or something like that, and you're doing stuff with zombies. It's supposed to be weird, kind of like the other Metal Gears, but it's also, like, not Kojima, so it's not, like, clever weird. It's just kind of, like, weird, but then also, like, a Codblops kind of game, maybe? I don't know.
Although, to be fair, apparently Kojima really, really wanted to make, like, a zombie Metal Gear game.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So yeah, maybe... like he wanted the I think this was one of the other articles actually on Polygon they mentioned. He wanted Metal Gear Rising Revengeance or whatever to be basically you like fighting nanobot zombies.
Huh. Okay. I know part of this game has like elements from Phantom Pain where there's like a base building mechanic where you try and build up a base to survive against zombies, I think. Mm-hmm. But the big news story about this game that's been released is citing one thing in particular, where there's an in-game economy in the game, called, like SV coins is what they call it. Where you have to pay actual money to get like this currency and then you can use it to buy things in game. And it's like similar to like, kind of like a pay to play mobile game.
You buy in-game currency. They did something similar with, Metal Gear 5. Metal Gear Solid 5, rather, with mother base coins, MB coins.
Gotcha. And so this has like things where you can like boost your experience for a certain amount of time, like so like boost like how much experience you're getting in game for a certain amount of time. So it's like things like that that are kind of like, I don't know, kind of like pay to win type stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then the one that people have been talking about mostly is to get a secondary save file in the game, you need to pay SV coins in order to open that up. Right. And I think it equates to about $10 in actual money. So the game itself costs $40 to buy right now, new.
Yeah.
But the idea is when you buy the game right now, you have one save file. And so if you want another one, then you need to pay additional money to make that, to open that up.
I'm not clear why you would want another one. Like, I mean, yeah. Grant, You know, I'm cool with, you know, if someone does want one, I'm having it. But I mean, this isn't a game, from what I understand, where it's like you have to, you know, level up under one specific, you know, skill path or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. And maybe that's why this is such a story, is because it's like a pretty like innocuous feature. So it's like weird that you would charge for it in the first place, outside of just to kind of be a pain for the users.
Yeah, to be like, hey, we will sell you this. We will sell you the base thing for real cheap. But if you want to have something that seems like a nicety of modern games, you know, the ability to have multiple characters and stuff, then you got to pay. You got to pony up extra.
Yeah. Seems weird.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the actual game. I kind of just dismissed it because it seemed like a bad concept for a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the reviews are fine. Like the Metal Gear Solid 5 engine is really good. It's fun to move around and shoot stuff in it. But I don't know enough about the game to where, like, to know if you are making a character and specializing them with gear or skills to where it'd be like, yeah, I want to have an alt. I want to, you know, start up something new or try out a different way to play without scuttling my dude. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or lady. You can be both.
So... The thing I was, you know, kind of segueing on from the other story is, you know, I've also heard, you know, Polygon has an interesting article discussing, you know, looking at like the makeup of the team that made it and like the restructuring that Konami did and kind of the ouster of Kojima and stuff like that. It's, I don't know, Grant, I tend to have the cynical read on things, but it's actually kind of depressing because apparently they, you know, a lot of it suggests that like a lot of their decisions are based around like, we don't want to, you know, have the possibility of another person like Kojima arising.
Nobody's name goes on this.
Well, and it seems to kind of come down to like, we don't want someone that's going to try to force us to make good games when we can just churn out mobile crap.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that comports with stories that I've heard about the pivot that Konami took around the time they, you know, around the time they jettisoned Kojima or he left. Yeah. You know, the story is unclear.
Yeah. So that's kind of depressing. Like, I know that's,
yeah.
But the game does, I mean, I feel like by far, at least, post Act 1, the best part of Metal Gear Solid was just the base building and the running around, like, doing stupid stuff. So I could see this being a fun thing. I'm a little disappointed it wasn't, like, free-to-play or, more heavily subsidized if they're doing a microtransaction thing.
It's good to see them using the Fox engine. That would have been very bad if that just kind of like languished and went to waste.
Yeah. Is that something that, like, would there be any way for like other teams to use that? Like, is that something that like Konami has like productized the way like Unreal Engine is or anything?
They haven't.
It's their in-house engine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was developed in-house, but I don't know if they're going to license it or anything.
Gotcha.
That requires ongoing upkeep and maintenance, and I don't think Konami is interested in doing that.
Yeah, I don't think much of anyone is right now.
Oh, David, what's your story here? I see a couple that you put in.
Yeah, part of it is how depressing about the world we live in do we want to be? I mean, we could continue the Metal Gear Solid.
Let's continue the Metal Gear one because a lot of people brought this to our attention, and it'd be fun. Sure. To...
So basically, the recently the FBI director Robert Mueller indicted
the special counsel, former FBI director.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Sorry, I just want to be clear because we're walking in political ground.
I mean, to be fair, they have been changing about once a month.
Right. I'm so sorry to be a dick. I just want to be precise about these things.
No, totally cool. Yeah. So he indicted, I guess it's 13 Russians and three Russian entities.
Right,
that,
including the IRA, the Internet Research Agency.
Say that again?
Including the IRA, the Internet Research Agency.
Right.
Yeah.
Who are supposedly tampered with the U.S. election.
Right.
Where I think supposedly is kind of in air quotes. A reporter posted a tweet commenting that the text of the indictment, or I don't know if it was the indictment itself or just, some of the documents surrounding it sound like a Metal Gear Solid cutscene.
Right.
And this led to Paul Eating, who plays Colonel Roy Campbell, who my understanding is at some point in the Metal Gear timeline, he's the guy who's kind of does your like mission briefings and stuff like that, right?
He's your primary handler in Metal Gear Solid 1 and also in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Okay. So he proceeded to post a YouTube video where he is reading a section of the indictment as that character. And you can definitely hear like it has an uncanny amount of like the way dialogue tends to be delivered in Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, specifically because Kojima is in love with using acronyms. And necessarily by the nature of this indictment, that is going to be included, and it's going to sound very much in style.
Right. The other one that's real big is, and I mentioned this some when I was playing 5, but they have a tendency to just sort of refer to things in a very bizarre, like detached kind of like oblique way.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout this document it repeatedly refers to the organization did such and such and just over and over again, which is very much in the style.
Yeah. I mean, combined with the fact that this indictment is 100% like techno spy shit, and also it was written it was written very much with an eye toward being publicly consumable, right? You know, like if you, I've sat down and read the first third of it or so, and like it reads like a fucking spy novel is what it does. So like it's it, again, it seems tailor made for Colonel Campbell to get up there and do his stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this confirms we are in the not only the darkest cyberpunk timeline, but apparently the darkest Metal Gear timeline.
That shit gets dark too. Yeah, I think we're good leaving on a bummer note like that.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where normally we ask you a question and then you answer it. However, it is time for a free play multiplayer. Jala put this up. Thank you, Jala.
Woohoo! Yeah. I realized that the last time that we did one was I wasn't on the show. And then before that, it was a long time since the last one, it felt like. So I was like, you know what? Damn it. I'm not coming up with a question or plumbing the, you know, scrounging through the list of stuff that people submitted like a while ago. Uh-huh. Damn it. Free play.
Sometimes you just let your hair down, you know? So I'm going to get us started here with Juan, who says, what's the last game that had you so invested in the mystery or plot that you had trouble putting it down?
Corpse Party.
Hmm.
The first one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mine would be really similar. The last one, Steins Gate Zero.
I'll play that. Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet.
I wanted to see how they squared that circle. Yeah. David?
I don't know. I guess I'd probably have to go with probably Metal Gear Solid 5, and my, was that a mistake?
Continue to eat the downer theme.
It wasn't a mistake for the first 35 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean...
Oh, getting invested yeah.
Okay. Yeah, being invested in the first half was only a mistake in as much as it led into the second half.
Gotcha. Ben, how about you? What was your last page turner?
Possibly an over answer, but for mystery, I would say Heavy Rain and Until Dawn are the last games that I've been intrigued by. For plot, Uncharted: The Lost Legacy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you liked that a lot. You liked that Uncharted expansion.
Yeah, it seemed underappreciated. It was just as good as the other Uncharted games.
Was that the one that's in India, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Greg writes, here's a heavy one. What kind of devices will we have in our houses in 10 years to play games on, not including mobile?
Also, today is Greg's birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Greg.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Everybody now. Yay! Okay.
Yeah!
Yay! Okay.
So, if you asked me this 3 years ago, I would have said, oh, certainly not a console. We're not getting rid of consoles. I think that they may change. They may become more like PC in a box like, but 10 years, that's not enough time.
10 years from now, I think VR will be like, you know how I had that article about the virtual reality suit thing all that. I mean, they'll probably have something more like that, but like streamlined and mainlined and made cheaper and more affordable for folks to use. So probably something, especially with like the large video walls and stuff that we've got now. Like I can even see like people just having, I mean, everybody has their like entertainment cave or anything. There's a lot of people who have that kind of a thing going on, but like I can see it being like a video game room because VR, you know, there's a lot of instances where people who have VR headsets and stuff tell me that they've smacked into stuff because they're wearing a headset. So
everybody's going to have to start doing their VR stuff in abandoned discovery zones because everything's going to be covered in foam rubber.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So Jala's answer is we're going to be running around in crazy haptic body socks and swimming in tubs of sensory goo.
Yeah. You're not already?
You've never been?
Now, I think my take on it is I think that the issue will be that having a console in your house implies that you own it which implies that you only pay for it once. Mm. So I'm thinking you'll basically have, you know, everything on the mobile cloud so that you can be microtransactioned and rentaled as much as possible.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to split all three of your answers. Like, I definitely think there's still going to be consoles. I think they'll probably have VR, like, streamlined so that it's less friction. So it might be, like, something like AR, or it might be something that's just, like, less cumbersome to put on. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think it's going to be, like, a Netflix-style thing where it's, like, you're just going to pay to subscribe to get a bunch of different games that you can play.
Yeah.
But it'll be, like, a, yeah, ongoing, like, per month thing. So.
Yeah, I don't base this on anything except just a dead reckon. If we take this like from 10 years to 5 years, I think that we're going to see more stuff in the house that looks like a Switch. I think it is way too attractive for a lot of people, for other companies not to be looking into a way to do a hybrid like that.
Mm-hmm. So in as much as like it's kind of a pseudo portable thing.
Yeah.
More flexible
devices kind of stuff.
Yeah. Doesn't the Vita already do that more or less?
It's iffy. It really depends. I think that Dennis is some kind of unicorn because he manages to get that to work from halfway across the country. I can't get it to work.
I know. I played Destiny with him. Literally, he was in his hotel room, like connecting to his PS3 at home.
Yeah. Whereas go ahead.
Dennis is secretly the best hacker out of any of us.
Whereas my bed is about 15 feet from my television, and nope, shit don't work. Jonathan writes, what games are you all looking forward to in the next 6 months? That wanted to keep it simple and also said something nice about the podcast. Vampire. Vampire.
I was going to say, yeah, Vampire is probably mine because I don't pay attention to release dates and I don't know when anything else is coming out. So, that or maybe the Dark Souls on the Switch. Now that I've got the Switch, I can, and I don't know if that's 6 months. So,
That's like May.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then, yeah.
And Vampire, whatever, however you say it, is June. So,
okay.
Yeah. I'll say A Way Out. I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah. That's the,
Prison Break co-op game.
There we go. What studio? Cool. What else did they make?
It's the Brothers. Same one that made Brothers, or it's like the same director. I think it's the same studio, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, how about you?
I feel kind of bad because like the game that's been my like big I've been waiting for game has been Monster Hunter, which obviously is not now out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I'm kind of like Jala. I tend not to keep track of what's what's coming out soon, so yeah. I don't know. Although to jump on the bandwagon, Vampire did look at least cool, so.
Oh yeah, also isn't there another Metroid game coming out sometime this year, or is that like later in the year?
I don't know.
Okay, well anyway, that also is a thing.
Lousy autoplay audio. Sorry, I pulled up a list of game releases, not to talk about, not to read out loud, but for my own edification later on, and it auto played audio. No, I don't think there's a new Metroid coming out.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. Don't mind me.
No.
Yeah. As I frantically pull up Steam's coming soon.
I don't need to spend any more money. let's see. Jack writes, many of us have to do triage when it comes to choosing games to play, largely because we are busy adults. Are there certain types or genres of games that you found no longer draw you in the way they used to due to these time considerations? Are there genres that have become more appealing for the same reason?
I know for me, it's kind of a narrow, on the edge of a knife, because like, for me, it very much tends to be, I want a game that has a certain degree of grinding, just because a lot of times kind of my play style is, sort of wind again to Zen mode and just, be able to, just kind of do the thing. That's why I really liked Warframe and, Metal Gear Solid and now Monster Hunter. So I would say that would be kind of what I've gravitated towards, and kind of what I've gotten away from would definitely be, I'd say, like, any sort of RPG that isn't that, like, any sort of, like, long-form, like, JRPG type thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Jolly, how about you? I mean, you're the busiest one of us.
By the way, Metroid Prime 4 is coming out at the very end of the year, theoretically, according to Amazon.
Yeah, okay, I remember them announcing it, but whenever they do something like that on Amazon or a retailer, like, yeah. The very last, that just means they're just keeping it up.
Yeah, I know, it's just a placeholder for whatever. Anyway, so that's what I was thinking of is what I was meaning to say. Yeah. Okay, so once upon a time I would have immediately said, like, JRPGs, I don't play JRPGs anymore, but then I've fucking been playing JRPGs, but that's because they're on a portable device, and I think, I think the thing that put the bug in my ear about it was you, Cole, because I think it was either on WAF or maybe it was The Level where you were just talking about you wanted JRPGs to be on a mobile device of some sort so you could play them in bed or something. And because I had already been playing visual novels and stuff in bed to relax, it kind of was just like, oh, you know, I could do a JRPG in bed and deal with that. And so...
Yeah.
Deal with it that way, because I don't want to be sitting on my computer. Like, if you tell me, oh yeah, there's this great JRPG, okay, is it available in a format I can sit in my bed with? No, okay, then I'm never playing it.
Yeah.
You know? So, because truthfully, I'm not going to sit at my computer and play it, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff I can play on a mobile device, but now that I've got three mobile devices, well, four if you count my actual cell phone, you know, like, yeah, that's a good thing. Things that have been more appealing for me, I would say something that I probably wouldn't have found as interesting before is visual novels, and that's just because there's not like much by way of gameplay. It's more like a cross between doing a thing and just reading a thing, you know, just kind of half passive and sort of active, but not like active enough that you need to exert real efforts other than just like concentration. So I think in a lot of ways the Visinovs have sort of been my more recent substitute for puzzle games. I still play puzzle games, but not as much as I'm playing visual novels these days, or recently JRPGs. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's been like a recent comeback. I kind of totally avoided them for years. So,
yeah.
As a side note, the thing I'm looking forward to is Vermintide 2.
Oh,
yay, Vermintide. Yeah, when is that coming out?
I think that's kind of in the Q3 of the future.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Your answer is really similar to mine, Jala. Like, it's not so much like a kind of game, but something being on mobile, and not necessarily mobile, something being portable. But portable is of no use to me if it does not give me the ability to start and stop at whim. Because, mm-hmm. like, sitting down and playing, you know, the idea of sitting down and playing a massive JRPG, like, I could even do one that was on the Game Boy Advance, but, like, that doesn't let you start and stop whatever you want. You know, you have to find a save point or whatever. The real trick for mobile, or portable, is that you are able to, like, just put the thing to sleep and then come back to it at an arbitrary time later. And so, for me, that is a massive part of what makes me pick something, regardless of what kind of thing it is. And, you know, some stuff that even recently I would have said I want to stay away from, like JRPGs, right? I've been out of JRPGs for a long time. I'm more coming back to them. Just for some reason, that is just more in my appetite than it has been before.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's been like a semi-painful process, as everybody listening has seen with me, but you know, like, I somehow still played them.
Yeah. Ben, how about you?
I think I've been doing a lot less grinding than I did in the past. I don't really 100% games anymore. I don't think I could play and beat Skyrim today if I had to, maybe. But I find myself playing more PC games since I have a PC that can run games now.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, that's everybody. David, you had yours, right?
Yep.
Cool. Let's see here. The next question here. John writes, if you could own an arcade cabinet, which one would it be? Pinball counts, multi-cabs do not.
What's a multi-cab?
Think like a MAME cabinet. where like, oh, I've it's kind of like going to a genie and saying, my wish is for more wishes. I wish I had a I wish I had an arcade game that had all the arcade games inside of it.
Oh, okay, like an emulator type one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I would love to have a Rampart cabinet.
I would say, weirdly, especially since I don't think I've ever talked about it, Street Fighter Third Strike. Like Street Fighter, yeah, that one. I would totally play that one a lot.
Yeah.
I like that one specifically. Oh, actually, I changed my answer. The Star Wars Pod Racer. I don't give a shit about Star Wars, but I love the Pod Racer with the little controllers. It's fun.
That cabinet was great.
That was a great cabinet. I take back my answer. That's the one I want more than a fighting game.
I still don't get how that didn't become a series.
Mm-hmm.
I think it didn't become a series because it was a Star Wars thing. And it had too much baggage. It was associated with a bad movie.
Okay. Wait, what? Excuse me?
No, it was associated with a bad Star Wars movie is what I meant. Like, it was associated with
episode one.
To be
fair, I think that stands alone. It was a bad movie even for movies.
Right, right. No, I think what Ben heard me say was that it was associated with Star Wars, which is bad movies. That's not what I believe. It was associated. Good.
So I actually think the prequels, like, they've had this weird bell curve for me where, or upside down bell curve, where it's like after prequel memes, I suddenly enjoy them a lot more now.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
David, how about you?
I'm kind of torn. I think for me, like, I've always loved the, whatever the coffee table style game cabinets are, just as, like, a form factor or whatever, not necessarily for any given game.
Yeah, cocktail ones.
Yeah. In terms of the actual game, I don't know. My all-time favorite arcade game is definitely the House of the Dead series. But those don't have a lot of replay. Maybe like one of the Gauntlet games, like Gauntlet Legends or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good answer, actually. If it's my place to say it, I don't think it is, but
I am fine with that.
Yeah.
The internet has pictures of Smash Brothers cabinets for N64, so I'm going with that.
I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire over that. That's fine. Yeah, we've already been going for 20 minutes, so I'm going to do one more here. And remember, we save all of these. I want to do a cleanup in a little bit. But Lindsay writes, what was your favorite gaming system in the 90s? Mine is a toss-up between the SNES and the Game Boy.
Oh, it was an easy answer till you threw in the portables.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that I didn't have a portable gaming system, I don't think, during the 90s at all. I got mine, like, when I was in college, so that's fine, except I was, like, old enough to play shit and remember it from the beginning of the 90s to the end of the 90s, so, like, how many fucking systems were in there? Because it depends on what era of the 90s.
Yeah, so that takes you from the NES up to the Dreamcast.
Yeah, so fuck, man. Like, all of the things that I played. I mean, like, they all had their time and their place. I was alive and, like, you know, sentient and gaming for the entire decade. So, damn it.
Which one do you think you put the most time on?
Well, shit. I would have to say NES or maybe the straight up just like the Genesis, because I had all the Sega consoles and then I got the SNES like way at the end of the 90s. Right. So, I mean, like way past its prime. So I didn't play as much on the SNES as I did, you know, my Genesis. Although I did play so much on the Sega sets, like Sega CD, like every single game that came out on the Sega CD, I probably played.
Yeah.
That's
what I was going to say. Far be it for me to answer for you, but based on how glowingly you speak of experiences on systems, like the Sega CD seems to rate so high for you.
Well, I played so much on there, and like, you know, I played so many. And I had a Saturn, and I ended up having a Dreamcast. I had all of those systems, but like, you know, I think I probably spent the most time hovering around my Sega CD, except if you're talking about my NES. I mean, my NES hands down had more time, but that was 80s too. So, I mean, I don't know where the cutoff is for that.
I mean, technically the Game Boy was an 80s one too. I think that early 90s is fair game for 8-bit stuff.
Yeah.
You still had good Mega Man games coming out in the 90s.
To be fair, there is a fairly objective cutoff for when the 90s started.
I mean, like the 90s didn't end until 9/11. Like, it's really fluid. I'm not laughing about 9/11. I'm laughing at Jolly's reaction. But like, you know, that's true. The 90s didn't end until 9/11. Like,
They didn't.
Yeah.
Which actually a little bit plays into some of my answer.
Okay.
In that this isn't actually my answer, but if we're talking game, I would say like Devil May Cry, even though it was in the 90s, it is probably the most 90s game ever.
But this is systems. This is systems.
Right. So I'm saying, like, for systems, it'd be a really tough toss up between like one of the Game Boys and the N64. I'd probably have to say Game Boy, just because, like, Castlevania and Pokemon were a significant portion of my childhood.
When was the Game Boy Advance? Because I played the shit out of my Game Boy Advance.
That was 2000. I love my Game Boy Advance so much. I was thinking about using that one, but no, that's a 2000.
Well, and that's the weird one, because I feel like Game Boy Advanced is like definitely the one that was like the game changer, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it was like Symphony of the Night was that was like the one that was by far my favorite of like those games I just mentioned, and that wasn't for the Advanced, right?
No, so Symphony of the Night was on PlayStation. What you're thinking of is the Metroidvania ones.
Sorry, not Symphony.
Yeah, you're thinking of Aria of Sorrow. Is the one with the
incredibly pretty dude.
Right, with Sola.
Well, all of the ones with that artist look like the same, except with different hair.
If you're talking about the original Game Boy, then you are referring almost exclusively to like ports or adaptations of. I'll do mine because I don't want to put Ben on the spot. But mine would be the PlayStation. The SNES is a real contender for that, honestly. Like, in terms
when
of
did the PlayStation come out?
95 in America.
I didn't get my PlayStation until later on too. So like I got into it, but like later than most other people did.
Yeah.
Although I feel like, again, for the, like, this being the episode where we answer for other people,
mm-hmm.
I feel like for you, like, definitely, you know, the PlayStation, you know, like, knowing you growing up, definitely the PlayStation, like, survival horror games and mm-hmm. stuff like that seemed like the ones that were, like, really, really, I don't know, your jam, like what you were super into. Does that make sense?
Yeah, even to this day. I mean, the JRPGs and then also the Resident Evil games and the one Silent Hill that came out for it, like those are all.
Well, and even really... like the like Parasite Eve, like there's a whole series of like, I'm sure we're going to start getting retro indie games of those, because like there's a whole series where like, I feel like early PlayStation survival horror is almost its own like micro genre.
Oh, absolutely. There already is one of those. It's called Back in 1995. no, I'm serious. That's what the video game is called.
So are you playing that on stream sometime soon?
It's been on my list for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a short one. So that'll be like a one weekender or a one nighter.
Cool.
Yeah. No, I'd definitely say PlayStation. Like SNES gets major props just in general for like early childhood stuff. For stuff that I feel, for just amount of time, PlayStation would be the one. Ben, come around to you. So,
I think easy for me, it's N64. That's the one that I have the fondest memories of playing multiplayer games with other people. So,
you tried to answer Smash Brothers for your favorite arcade game.
Yep.
He did. He didn't just try.
Yeah, and I didn't hold his feet to the fire. Like the nice guy that I am.
And then you called him on it later. Good job, Cole.
Yep.
I love that. Sorry, I just pulled up like back in 1995, and like their initial image for like when you first pull it up on Steam is like the still life like item display, you know the way that like all those games did.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yep, this game's got it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm curious about it. It's one that's been on my list for a while.
Play it when I can watch it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you everybody for writing in and asking those questions. Sorry we didn't get through very many, but I'll be saving these and we'll come back to them later. If you want to participate in these multiplayer sections, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Watch them to go up on Monday afternoons. Thanks to Jala and also Dennis who posts them. They take turns. They check with each other. They make sure it happens.
If it's late, it's Dennis's fault.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you've been away the longest, so I will throw to you first.
Yahoo! Let's talk about some Nintendo shit. So, first off, before I talk about my Switch, I will mention that I had been until my Switch came, I had been playing Samus Returns, which was given to me by Greg for Christmas. So thank you, Greg. This was my first time playing a Metroid game since Metroid Fusion. And I have to say that I have some mixed feelings about it. I have sunk several hours into it, although I have no idea what my actual play clock is or where to find out what my play clock is, because I have no idea where to find that information. It's not in the game. I don't know. So anyway, I played a bunch. So first, I'll mention the stuff that I don't like first, so that way I can end on like a higher note about it. Mm-hmm. So the stuff I don't like. The bosses are really boring. It's like the same one over and over again, yeah, with minor variations. And I've come across a couple of other bosses that are more interesting, like a little turtle looking thing or whatever, and some other thing. I don't even remember what the hell it was, but it wasn't one of the little Nautilus things, but like for the everything.
Ah, turtle looking thing. I remember him well.
Exactly how turtly was he?
Well, he was turtly and he rolled up into a little ball and tried to roll over you. And that's what he did. So, but anyway, turtle versus the Nautilus things. So I have a goddamn counter on my screen that tells me there's 40 of them. So fuck that. that already makes me mad. But anyway, moving on. The game has all these Metroid conventions, all right? But I guess because Fusion actually has some interaction between Samus and Adam, which is the computer in that game, and that there was some drama where Samus's suit fucking fused to her with infected X-parasites, and she's no longer even human because, like, her suit had to be cut off, and she's like still partially fused to it and stuff. And, like, all this other stuff was going on. It was drama. And then you had, like, pursuit elements and things. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even though there was that fucking spider boss, not turtle, spider this time, even though there was a fucking spider boss, it was worth it because I really dug what the story stuff was doing. And Samus had like a voice to her, you know, like a personality. And
she had actual dialogue.
Yeah, she had dialogue. And it had like a definite mood, unlike other Metroids, which I enjoyed as well, but in a different way. So I guess with Samus Returns, I kind of was hoping to get at least a little bit of like, you know, any kind of, you know, personality or fleshing out. Like, we were making a step in a direction, guys. Why are we backtracking the other way? Damn it.
Right.
So I was kind of upset about that, but it's not like, you know, terribly, terribly so. But I was just kind of like, I guess, hoping for more stuff, more content than what I was presented with.
It could always be so, Other M.
I guess. I never did play that one. So anyway, I know, though, that going back to Fusion would be a gameplay nightmare, and this one plays so much better, so I know that.
You also have to get a Wii U, which means you would buy the last decade worth of Nintendo systems.
Yeah. So anyway, what I do like about this game, it's a Metroid game. I like the carry mechanic. Yeah, there you go. It's a Metroid game. Ta-da! the end. Well, anyway, I like the parry mechanic, which is new to this game. I also like the spider ball and exploring with it in some of the huge areas that I wouldn't normally think I could get to. Like, I started climbing the walls where my spaceship landed, figuring that eventually I'd be stopped, right? I mean, that's how I roll in these games. Ha ha, I'm the spider ball rolling up the side. Get it?
Oh, I get you.
Anyway, but anyway, no, I kept on going on forever and ever and ever, and it just, like, the map kept on, you know, showing more screen, and I kept on going up, and eventually I got to a whole new section of map with enemies and everything, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was neat. And then also I ended up getting the Samus and Metroid amiibos, and those were the first amiibos I've ever gotten.
Wait, and so is this two amiibos?
Yes,
two amiibos. You all of a sudden have more than one amiibo, which means you're gonna start collecting them now.
Amiibi,
yeah. So in the game, the Metroid gives you a homing device, so now I can figure out where the closest Metroid is, and it's like I stopped right before the next one, so whatever that means. And then the Samus one gives you an extra Aeon tank for special abilities, like you have a lightning armor thing or whatever, and that's what that does. So that's cool. I was playing this consistently, and the internet was at peace because I didn't have anything in particular to poke fun at. So since then I've been rampaging with my Switch. Like, as soon as I got my Switch, I set Samus Returns down for the time being, and I just went over to playing that. So I don't really want to go into any more detail about Samus Returns than that, because you've already talked about this game, Cole.
And I kind of petered out on it, so it must not have been that great.
So I mean, like, I don't know. The only reason I stopped playing is, again, because, like, I got my Switch, and that was a shinier new thing to pick up and play. I will go back to Samus Returns at some point and see what else it has to show me.
Yeah.
But so the Switch as a device, it's too big for me. Damn it, as a handheld.
Okay.
Like, it's not comfortable. It's just too wide. So, like, I like to lay in bed on my side and hold my thingy and just play the game. But my shoulders aren't wide enough, and it's very uncomfortable for my arms to just hold this thing.
So you're just holding it extended like you're holding a sign in front of a store. Like,
it's kind of frustrating. So that's a thing. It's a little bit too big as a handheld device. And then somebody's like, well, why don't you just get one of those little, you know, clip-on thingies where you can put the screen and then you can hold the Joy-Cons? Yeah, except, like, I don't have a place to put that on my nightstand, and then be extra inconvenient to try to figure out a way to maneuver to make that work.
Okay, rig up
duct tape to the ceiling.
Rig up some kind of helmet with a telescoping kind of clamp that will hold this the screen for you.
Sure, there you go. So there's that. And also, I immediately started having problems with the Joy-Cons, like, the moment I pulled this thing out of the fucking box.
What?
Weren't reading. And one of them, well, they weren't reading as being attached to my screen, even though they were. And then one of them wasn't charging. And I looked it up, and it's apparently a known problem. And there are off-brand repair kits to swap out the plastic kits or plastic clips mm-hmm. with metal ones. So although I finally settled the Joy-Cons in after a lot of fucking around with them for, like, I don't know how long I was battling with them, but I got it to work. If it persists as an issue, though, I'm going to have to perform surgery. So so that's unfortunate.
Joy-Con is still the worst name ever.
Okay. I got three games with the Switch. I was given Mario Kart 8, Breath of the Wild, and Super Mario Odyssey. And I played Mario Kart and Breath of the Wild. I have not played Super Mario Odyssey because it tells me that I should take the Joy-Cons off my device. And because of how much trouble I've been having with those fuckers, I haven't played the game yet. Because
that's only a suggestion. There's only one move that is not essential for completing the game that requires, like, a waggle.
Okay. Well, I can't play that game
without them being detached.
Oh. Okay. Well, see, that's the thing, though. I was just like, all right, you want to know how long this took me to try to get these fuckers attached and actually reading? Fuck you, game. I'm not. I'm gonna wait until, like, I am sick of the other games I have, and then I will play Super Mario Odyssey. So that is totally on my back burner for now as a result, and it's the Switch's fault. So. blame the Joy-Cons. Anyway, yeah, so also because it's obviously the super-powered device, the battery obviously does not last nearly as long as my 3DS or my Vita, so I have to be near the charger if I'm playing for any extended length of time. And I do like, though, how easy it is to capture screens and video and post to social media, because you know that that's something that I do anyway, all the time. And so overall, other than the Joy-Con problems and the battery life, like, you know, being potentially a concern unless I have it perpetually plugged in somewhere, I like it as a device. I have not bothered to try to set it up with my TV because, as we've discussed many times before, I don't fucking use my TV, so there's no point. So, yeah, hopefully I can work out the Joy-Con issue. Hopefully, if it's, you know, like a persistent thing, I can just get that little kit and then perform surgery and come back and give a happy prognosis for my longevity of my system. Any particular comments, questions, or whatever about the Switch as a thing when you were a 5'3" girl?
I'm sorry you're having those problems. I understand why it would be potentially too big, especially when you are used to something as compact as the Vita, which you spend so much time on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, like, it's just like a smidge too big to make it comfortable. Like, it's not heavy. It's just wide, you know? It's a little too wide. And I guess, like, if I took the Joy-Cons off, that would be less wide. But then I wouldn't be holding it, so it wouldn't even be an issue anymore. So, but then, again, that's the whole thing. Okay, well, now I've got to get a stand for it, blah blah blah. Yeah, whatever.
Maybe you could kill two birds with one stone when they come out with all the cardboard cutouts. You can just put it on one of the robots and just play it that way.
Yeah, program it to follow you around.
There you go. So anyway, I've been playing Mario Kart 8. Like I said, there is nothing to say about it because it's fucking Mario Kart. I'm King Boo. That's it. That's all I got. That is it. I'm King Boo. I'm playing Mario Kart.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say about that. I remember I gave you shit about that when you were explaining it and asked if we had questions, Cole.
I don't want to leave somebody behind. I don't want to
It's been talked about. And the thing is that all the games that I've been playing on the Switch, you've already fucking talked about. So, like, you know, you're like, it's good, though, because that just means I can rant about whatever I want. Everybody's got, like, the meat of the subject when you were talking about it.
Yeah, there's no need to rack stuff up. Yeah.
Shit. I could just, you know, fuck off and it's fine. So the big one, the thing that I have been taking over Twitter with is about Breath of the Wild. Yeah. I've been playing that game.
That's like all the game that I've been playing, too.
Yeah. All the other people on the damn podcast, except David, you haven't played it, have you?
I do not have the required console.
Okay.
Has Dennis played it?
No. He doesn't have a Switch.
It's you guys, and now it's me, so it's a majority.
To the scales. Yeah.
So, I have no idea where to get the exact numbers on my playtime. According to Eric or Z Chocobo, just my Switch profile, and that just tells me that I played 15 hours or more.
Yeah,
so
that'll tell you like a rough one, or it'll say more than 30 hours or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, well, I have played 15 hours or more of this game. So, yeah, that's the thing. All right, so allow me to preface my commentary about this game by saying that I do not like Kitty Zelda. Games that are all ages are fine, but I think the all ages aspect of Zelda just doesn't jive with how I thought of the original couple of games, which are the ones that I'm most invested in because I'm fucking old. So, like, not that I want to survival horror it up or anything, but I definitely never conceived of Link as, you know, starting out as a little kid, like in Link to the Past.
Kid, right? He has like a six pack, but he's a child, and that's kind of weird too.
Well, anyway, so, but like, I mean, I'm just talking about like games in general. There's a lot of Zelda games where he is a kid, and like, I just never conceived of him as being that when I played the old games, you know, back when I was little. And it's kind of like how my preferred Castlevania narrative style is like post Symphony of the Night. Even though I played the original Castlevania games, for some reason that update worked for me, but like the change of Zelda into kind of like the kid-friendly version just did not work for me. So I like tend to avoid the ones that look excessively kid-friendly. I don't really like them very much. Yeah, I don't do it. I just can't. So anyway, I'll tell you what I've been doing in the game so far. So I was tricked by Father Christmas, who was also a ghost. I got to see Calamity Ganon out the window, and he sounds like some kind of like a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger foe or some shit, like some weird ass fucking name. I fought a couple of stone taluses, whatever the hell that means.
Like mini bosses you find out on the map.
Okay, well, I fought an elder one and then like a regular one. I survived two blood moons, and the first time that happened, I'm like, the world is ending. What the fuck is happening? Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Now they just brought everything back to life. Fuck you, game. Fuck you and your grinding. Anyway.
It goes back. It goes away after the blood moon.
Well, the creatures have been respawned, though, and then you have to fight them if you go back to those areas. So, well, anyway, I got a piece of Xenogears tie-in armor. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Not Xenosaga, whatever the Xenoverse is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I finished shrines up into the double digits. So I've done a bunch of shrines. I found a bunch of Koroks who gave me seeds. And then I gave the seeds to a weird Maraca thing, which is really fucking embarrassing to look at.
And the Koroks are really hard to look at. They're kind of like old, like a... biblically accurate angels, where they're nothing but wheels with eyes and shit.
well, anyway, I also found a village, and I also found, this is my absolute most, I don't even know, mind-boggling thing that I've come across, a shiny orgasmic booby lady in a wet flower who blew me.
Who turned
Say
you blue.
That again?
She turned you blue.
Here, look. I just sent some links. And it's the first one. The one that's labeled extortion from a creepy flower giant. Look at that one.
Yeah, the great fairy. Yeah.
Yes, the fucking weird lady who sounds like she's orgasming all the time. And she blows on you to make your armor or whatever. And she's like naked except for some jewels and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, that was a thing. And then the second one is that stupid Maraca thing. So anyway, like these are the kinds of things I'm posting on Twitter.
Yeah. But I mean, like these are all just kind of straight-faced, like just like descriptions or summations, like literally what's happening in the game. Like, how are you enjoying running around the world as Link and fighting stuff and getting into scrapes and throwing things?
I was getting there. Okay. I was getting there. So when I started playing this, I was bored as fuck, guys.
Okay.
Like, so fucking bored. The plateau, which to me seemed like it was hours and hours. I don't actually know how long I was playing that part because my Switch won't tell me how long I was playing. Mm-hmm. But it was uninteresting as hell. And everybody's like, did you get off the plateau? Did you get off the plateau? Because I was like, guys, if this doesn't get more interesting soon, I'm going to set it down and never come back, you know? But yeah, the world itself feels to me really contrived rather than being like a living and breathing thing. When I jump into an open world game, one of the things I love is that you come across all these different kinds of storylines that are playing out, some of which are side quests, some of which are just unofficial incidents that just kind of happen that you stumble across and, you know, can intercede in if you want to. And this game feels like it's on rails, but I can kind of wander around a little if I want, although there's nothing really all that exciting out there to hold my attention from what I've seen. I can climb on shit. I can go glide around. That's about as much fun as I'm having because, like, all of the AI for the monsters, like, acts the same as the AI for everything else that looks like it, you know? Okay, so what? It's just not exciting out there in the world, which is a big disappointment because I like exploring.
Right.
So that's sad. And, like, you look for red glowing things and make them blue. Big whoop. It's just kind of like a mixture. It's just enough of a mixture of on rails and open world to frustrate me. Like, I don't mind on rails and I don't mind open world, respectively, but I fucking want more to do that's not prime directive. And it just doesn't seem like I'm getting that other than here's some, you know, stupid side quests that are really easy to resolve and don't really have, like, any kind of involved storyline, at least in the sections that I have played thus far. So I only more recently learned about all the combat moves and the timing and stuff, which mm-hmm. would have made much more sense to learn about on the boring ass plateau when I needed to make my own fun. Like, they should have told me that shit from the beginning, not 10 hours into the game. Oh, by the way, also, these are some things you could be doing. Yeah, you should have been doing these all
along.
It's
hidden away in shrines and stuff, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
In,
like, I mean,
it is in a shrine.
I understand that it's trying to like progress you, you know, and be like a nice gentle curve to everything, but that gets boring as shit for me. Like it's not enough at one time to get me excited, and then like all at once they just drop it on you. Okay. I recently came across Horses, and I can already tell that I'm not likely to enjoy it. I cannot think of a time in a game or in real life either when I've had a ride on a horse and enjoyed it.
Okay.
I got stories about that shit. I think I've talked about my real life horse stories before. Autumn better not listen to this.
I don't think she does.
Yeah, she doesn't. But anyway. So, like, yeah. I have some complaints about it. Yeah. But, all right. These are all my complaints. I'm almost done, really, I promise. Then I'll get on and tell you all the things I like. The last thing that's just, like, again, like a niggly bit for me. I can't take this game seriously. Because even though it's not hyper kid-tastic, it reminds me that it is kid-friendly off and on. And when it does, like with the fucking dancing maraca tree, I just want to stab my eyes out. It's only when it's really laying it on the kids' appeal that like I just can't take it anymore. Hmm. But by the way, like the most controversial damn thing I've apparently said about this game on Twitter has been that I just can't stand that stupid tree with the maracas.
Okay.
Like, I said that, and like, man, there's some people who out there who are very upset that I do not like the maraca tree. So
that's very strange.
Yeah, so that's a thing. Anyway, apologies to the maraca tree fans out there in the world. I am not among you. All right. But yeah, you can tell from the start of any game because of the sound effects, because, you know, like the moment you boot it up, if it is a kid-friendly game, all the little menu dings and stuff are always in a higher register if it's a kid-friendly game than if it's not. So, you know, but I still kind of forget anyway and think of it more like a game for teenagers or something until, like, you hear fucking baby noises and maracas and little jam session happens on your screen. And then, like, you feel like, at least for me, I'm just like, you know, if there was, like, anybody in this room with me right now, I would have to explain what the fuck the baby noises and maracas are on my, you know, coming out of this device when I'm playing this game. Like, what is this crap? Ugh.
Yeah. So it's always great to compare sticking points between people, because the stuff that you're like, I don't like that stuff either. I don't like any written line of text in this game, actually. The only reason I was paying attention to it was because I need to talk about it on WAF. But like, I'm, you know, advancing through it as quickly as possible and just kind of like just roll my eyes when I get to the Korok and turn stuff in. But then like, I don't really do anything with the Korok seeds. I got fine. I got through 45 hours of the game without really engaging with that system at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of like come across the Koroks just incidentally if I'm out in the world, and then, you know, hey, I just unlocked a Korok seed. Okay, yeah. Whatever. But I've run into that maraca tree twice, and it's funny because Allison said on Twitter, she's like, I didn't even come across that until like 40 hours into the game, and I've only played like 15 hours or more, whatever that means.
Yeah, it's after you.
Yeah, like it's following me because I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you probably spotted it on the way to Kakariko Village, right? Like it was on the road up there. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in the road. And then, like, I decided that I was going to jump off of the Dueling Peaks and go fly off in another direction. And then it happened to be over in that direction also. Like, this shit is following me around. But anyway, so another random comment, though. Okay. You can kidnap fairies and imprison them in your pockets and then force them to heal you until their life force is apparently spent and they disappear. That's not horrible or anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the way
it's kind of a long running thing.
Yeah. I mean, like,
have fairies. I know.
You're putting them in bottles. Like, there are no air holes in those bottles. There are no sticks in there to make them feel like they're at home.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be like a kid-friendly game. You're christening this thing, and then like, and then you shoot like a goat or something, and then it just like, it makes me laugh how it falls. Like when the goat falls over, and it's just like straight legged, it goes.
I can't tell you how many majestic sky beasts I have grounded with my lightning bolt, by which I mean the arrow from my bow and arrow.
It turns into a steak in a poof of ninja smoke. What the fuck? It's hilarious. And so, like, even though, you know, what's funny is that, okay, I'm vegan, and I tend towards eating veggies even in the game.
Uh-huh.
Even though my violent tendencies and murderous heart led me to kill and hunt things. But, like, I don't want to eat them. Like, I sell them, you know, because you can sell meat for higher amounts of money than you can...
Cook that bad boy up. You add value. What's that flavor? Yeah, that's value.
Exactly. So, but the thing is, the plants give you the same amount of hearts and shit. Is just whatever. Anyway, so, all right.
Well, what did you like about this? Because this sounds like this doesn't sound like a game somebody would spend 15 hours on.
Oh no! I had some complaints about it, but I also had some things I like. The paraglider.
It's great.
Yeah. I find it really funny that they make Link look more like an average guy rather than a super ripped hero. Like, he doesn't have a six pack and he's built kind of like more stocky looking, not like, you know, super lean. I'm a superhero man.
Yeah, yeah.
But for some fucking reason, he can dig his bare fingers into the sheer side of a cliff and climb up fucking anything except the insides of shrines because invisible plot armor. Also, you can't kill villagers or NPCs, which makes me mad.
But why would that make...
Was that the fucking lady with the flowers that I hate at that shrine that won't let you step on the flowers, and she makes me upset.
Yeah, that's why you glide in from above.
I want to stab her in the eye.
Okay.
Pretty good. I glided all the way from the Dueling Peaks. I didn't have any more glide left by the time I got there.
There's a tower nearby that you can glide in from.
Well, I didn't go there. I went through the flowers.
Yeah. I
went over there and tried to kill her multiple times in various ways, and it would not let me, and I was very mad. Yeah. But anyway, I like the paraglider, and let me get on top of a tall thing and go places from there, and I'm happy. So I spend a lot of time climbing mountains. That's what I do.
Oh, yeah.
I like to do that thing. And I like also the abilities that you can use your Sheikah Slate for, blowing things up, big old magnet, freezing water, stopping time. All of these things are good things. I like them. They're also infinite. That's also great.
Yeah, infinite bombs. It's a very good thing. Yeah. It's a good decision.
And now that I've gotten introduced to the fighting mechanics, I will actually have fun with melee combat. But before that, I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
But I do like using boomerang swords. Those are fun.
Yep. Go over to the west side of the map. You'll find a bunch of them.
Oh yeah. West Nakluta. I already went to that. I haven't gotten any further than that yet though.
Yeah.
But, also I like the sneaky armor you get in the village.
Uh-huh.
It's neato. And I like archery. Let me snipe anybody. It makes me happy.
Archery is super viable. It's great. Like, I mean, this is a game that, you know, much to Ben's chagrin, it's very much like a Far Cry. I was, you know, it had been a while since I hadn't developed the antibodies to that, but like figuring out how to get into the best position to make my first shot count as much as possible, you know, to clear an outpost or, you know, get that sweet, sweet treasure on top of that tower, was always very satisfying.
Yeah. And also, even though I usually despise crafting, or at least specific types of crafting, the types of crafting that I enjoy are making potions and food that buff and heal. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you do in this game, is you do those things and you collect those materials. And I never get bored doing that. And I don't know why that is true, although I don't like crafting armor or accessories or anything like that. Like, I don't like doing that, but for some reason I like making food and potions. I guess it's because I actually like cooking, and I actually have an herb cabinet, and I make teas and stuff like that, and like perfumes. So I guess it like actually has a correlation to my life, whereas I don't have a forge or some shit. So
have you developed a Pavlovian response to the "this recipe is about to be successful and also you've never made it before" sound?
No, like I like skip the little that happens beforehand.
Oh, I never figured out how to skip it. But when you're watching the ingredients kind of dance around in the pot and like, oh, wait, there are notes here. Oh, wait, the notes are climbing. Oh, they're getting louder. Yes, this means up. Oh, yep, here we go. I made something new. Yay.
Oh, no, no, no. I skipped all that shit.
Oh, okay.
No Pavlovian response, obviously. Yeah. I'm over there. But, yeah, I'm Full Metal Alchemist Chef. So that's what that is. And I actually like a large portion of the NPCs, like the paintbrush hair dude. Mm-hmm. With the exception of
the
that
ones you don't want to murder.
Right.
The only people that I want to kill, well, actually.
You only want to kill those who get in your way.
I want to kill the stupid flower lady. And, like, I just want the Maraca thing to go away. I don't really care about him one way or the other than he's just fucking embarrassing and I want him off my screen. So, you know, I just want him to go away, but I would like to kill the flower lady. She's number one on my hit list. So. So anyway, other commentary. Let's see. I really hope that Zelda is a ghost or a crone like Impa is. Cause she is so fucking scary looking. I bet she was hot when I was like, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. Like, do they ever show a flashback, Cole, and show you what she looked like before she was an old lady?
Yeah. No.
You got to tell me, because like this is what she looks like now.
Oh, Impa? No, so it doesn't show what Impa used to be. I thought you were talking about Zelda. No, I as far as I can tell, there's no young Impa in the game.
Okay, well, they just like hid her hot, sexy body from you because now she's like this scary ass looking old crazy lady. But anyway. Yeah, also, anytime Link gets a heart container, I just try to imagine his henshin sequence because he looks like he's about to transform into a Sailor Senshi. And that's it. The game just seems like, okay, and now you have to go all the way across the map this way. And it's supposed to be fun to be able to wander around before you go do whatever you need to do. But it's really, just for me, only so fun because there's so much repetition involved. Like, I still haven't found enough variety to make this super, super exciting. Like, they've been giving me some new verbs. They've been giving me some new enemies or whatever. But, like, there's still just not a whole hell of a lot going on in the world that just makes me excited to be in it, you know? Mm. I'm just kind of like, eh, okay. I'm just not satisfied. I don't know. It's just, I just feel like, I kind of wish it was either more on rails or more open world, but where it's at, that little middle ground just doesn't work for me for whatever reason.
It's hard for me to imagine it being more open. I think, I don't know that I'm quite understanding what you're referring to that you would like it to be more open. Like what is not there? Is it just that the world feels kind of like empty or voidish?
If I am playing something like a Morrowind or something, all right, I can go dive in the water and come across like a shipwreck with like fucking ghosts and all different kinds of stuff going on down there. And that's like a whole, it's its own narrative in this own little spot that's not actually a side quest. That's just a thing you can come across. And of course, you've got bandit caves, troll caves, all these other different random things. You've got denizens of the world that are going on about their own activities. And yes, you see NPCs walking around, but like I haven't seen any NPCs fighting enemies or, you know, having interactions with one another on the road. They're all just exist for you, and so it's all very canned and very just like, you know, like there's not a living, breathing environment. You can tell it's on like a rail that's circulating on this particular path, and you're just, you know, coming across it, you know, however, from whatever direction you're coming from. You know, but it's going to be the same no matter where you come from.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't doubt you when you say you haven't seen it. Also, it's there though. Like you do run across like specifically villagers or people who are out on quests who are, you know, fighting enemies, and you help them and you get a little something off the back of it. Like that is a thing that happens.
There is some cool stuff that you can stumble across, but I would say it's like maybe not as dense or as like landmarked as well as it would be in something like Skyrim, where it's just like, oh, okay, I guess this is a special area. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you know, example, I can go into an area in one of those games, as in like a Skyrim or whatever, and like there's a cavern and there's like multiple layers of this cavern and there's like no specific point to ever going into that cavern, but there's all the shit you can do in there if you want to. There's not such a thing here. Like, I don't get caverns. Like, I get like a skull enclosure and some towers where some bokoblins or whatever they're called are sitting around a fire, you know, derping around and dancing. And then you shoot them until they die, and then you get a treasure. And then that, you come across like 7 of those. And then maybe the next time there is also a Lizal. Okay. Well, that's not like very exciting because it's just like wrote the same thing over and over again every single time I come across.
Do you keep your shrine locator on?
Yes.
Okay. Something that I noticed and something that helped me find the things that you are that you're kind of bemoaning the lack of was once I kind of ran out of, you know, in a given area, the shrines that were readily apparent, like, oh, I can spot this from the tower. I can see it, you know, from whatever mountain I climb, because I'm very much similar to you. I climb whatever mountain I can see. And usually there's something at the top of it. Once you start finding the shrines, or, you know, start looking for the shrines that are hidden and not specifically on the overworld, you start getting into some very kind of like convoluted navigation and a little bit deeper digging that gets you into those kind of situations that you're looking for. They're just not as readily apparent on the surface. They make you dig for them, probably to their detriment.
Yeah, especially since like, you should be able to gather that, like, when I explore a thing, I'm like all over the fucking place, mm-hmm. climbing up and blowing up and crawling around and seeing how many different ways they will let me, you know, traverse the space. So, I mean, like, I have been exploring rather intently the areas that I've been in, and mm-hmm. I haven't come across anything very exciting yet.
Yeah.
And if it's like 15 plus hours in and it's still not showing me any of that shit, then I'm not very excited about like the next 30 hours that come after that. So,
this is a question that's unrelated to what you're asking for. Yeah. How far have you pursued the main kind of the main quest? Because that is,
I have to go fix my Sheikah slate so I could, you know, move on with the next thing. But like, I got distracted because I was like, but I want to go over to that shrine that I see over there. So I've been kind of like wandering around to some shrines in the area. And then after that, I'll be wandering back the other way to fix my Sheikah slate.
So what I will say is the stuff that I'm talking about is also more more dense at the extremities, and the kind of the purpose of those main quests, you know, the whole defeat the 4 divine beasts, like, yeah, there's a dungeon at the end of those and there are like some quests that you do for the different like people of Hyrule, but it gets you into these new kingdoms, these new biomes, and into kind of like different ways to interacting with the environment or different constraints, right?
Okay. Yep. Well, also, I have to say, too, like, I didn't say anything about them, but I like the shrines. Yep. You know, those are fun. Those are fun little puzzles, or not very puzzles. I mean, it depends. It varies from shrine to shrine as to...
They're different
you
kinds.
Know, how... Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But I do like the shrines. They are cool. And I like getting on top of the towers and activating those, because that means that I can warp there and then fucking glide everywhere from mm-hmm. there.
That was kind of the first thing that I did, was go to every tower that I could.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep, yep. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, overall, I'm still playing it, and I'm not, like, frustrated with it. I mean, like, there are things about it that bother me, but they don't bother me enough. Like, my feeling like, okay, it doesn't feel like there's all that much out there. I'm still wandering around in the damn world trying to look for stuff, mm-hmm. but I'm just not seeing a whole lot out there. And so I'm just kind of having to create my own fun out there, but I don't have as many tools right at the moment to make that happen as I'd like. So
if you're open to recommendations, the divine beast that is to the north, to the northwest, the one that is in the bird people village, I would recommend going there, because each of the divine beasts, when you beat one, you get a special ability. 3 of the 4 are for combat. The one from the bird person is about navigation, and it makes your paraglider like way more useful.
That would be the place I need to go first then.
Yeah.
For sure. After I fix my Sheikah slate, I have to do that first.
Oh yeah. But that's real short.
Yeah, it's just a matter of like walking over that way. But, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I need to go over there. But also I remember in this area there were at least this many more shrines I need to go jack with. Let me go do that first.
Yeah.
So. So anyway, yeah, like I know it sounds mostly like I'm complaining about everything, but I'm complaining about a bunch of things, but they're all like little things that I don't think I've heard anybody else talk about, you know, yeah. that people don't
in the midst of the glowing praise
having
for
a problem
it.
With. And I'm like, yeah. well, legitimately, these things bother me, yeah. you know, to a lesser or greater degree. But, you know, like it's not that it's a bad game. It plays fine. And, you know, depending upon what you're looking for, this game can be entirely enchanting. Like David Petroco was talking about, you know, the stupid maraca tree is like his daughter's favorite thing about the game. And I'm like, yeah, your daughter's also in the single digits for age, you know, like, yeah. so of course, but like, you know, for him to be able to play that with his daughter has value to it. You know, like I'm not so put off by the little kiddie parts that it makes me, you know, hate the game or anything, but you know, at the same time, I'm just like, okay, yeah. Can I skip this little animation, please? And, you know, luckily I can, so that makes it a little less irritating. But,
I would say just keep playing it. 'Cause I think I agree with a lot of your opinions when I was playing it. Like at early on, I think it opens up more and kind of fleshes out more, hopefully. But
yeah, because like I want to say that, like, you know, I think Cole, I think you had more goodwill towards it from the beginning than anybody, me or Ben did. But mm-hmm. Ben, I think you were kind of more apprehensive, and then you got happier and warmer about it, and then you kind of got more apprehensive again at some point, is what happened in your arc. And so, you know, like, I do want to play more, as much as it sounds like, I'm just so frustrated with this game or whatever. No, like they've given me enough new verbs to keep me going without being completely bored. It's not like the Samus Returns problem of this is the same boss, slightly different. I mean, like it is, but it isn't, because I am encountering a lot of enemies that they're in the same situation. So in those aspects, it's kind of like the Metroid Samus Returns problem of, you know, like repetition. Uh-huh. But at the same time, they're still giving me new verbs that'll make me keep playing. And actually, that's a thing that's in Samus Returns, too. Like, I kept on playing that game because they kept on giving me, like, new verbs for me to go crawl on walls and shit. And that's how it kept me playing. Although, you know, that goodwill could only go so far until they need to do something exciting or bust, you know. Yeah. So I'm just kind of like waiting to see where it opens up or where it shows me something new that's going to make me really excited.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I don't doubt that it's there somewhere, but like, you know, at this moment in time, I'm not receiving it with the glowing, you know, praise and, you know, oh, this is a game of the year, you know, thing. A lot of people seemed really, really hyper jazzed about it. And like, I'm just not, it's not hitting me that way.
Yeah. Especially if you went into it, taking everything that has been written or said about it in the past year, kind of at face value.
Yeah.
You know, I like the game. I don't know that I'm as glowing on it as a lot of people are. And I guess I don't have enough self-knowledge to really know if that is me being obstinate or me being in, you know, just kind of like digging into the backlash part of the hype backlash cycle. Like I have no idea.
Well, for some complete disclosure, the game that I wanted to play the most on the Switch was this game.
Yep.
So, you know, it's not like I went into this anticipating that I wanted to shit on it or something. No, I wanted to fucking love this game because, you know, like, an expensive Zelda game that I can play on a handheld device. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like a great idea. So, I mean, like, that's part of why I'm still playing it, because, like, my interest and my goodwill and my looking forward to it haven't gone away 100%. I'm just like, you know, okay, what next? You know, like, where's the next thing? Where's the good stuff that I know is in this game? I know there's a lot going on in this game.
Yeah.
You know? So I do not look forward to Horseback Battle. I will just say that now. And maybe I will change my mind.
It's so, like, you do not have to engage with that system.
Good, because like I was just like, I came across some horseback guys, and I'm like,
nope. I mean,
it's like archery or melee?
Both.
Either. Yeah. what that did for me was occasionally I would fight, bokoblins that were on horseback, and it meant that I was given the ability to have these opportunities to, like, shoot somebody off of the back of their horse with my bow and arrow, which is sweet. It's a good feeling. Shooting somebody off of horseback.
But. Well, I just like shooting people in general, so yeah. That's a nice thing. I like the archery system. So, yeah. I've burned through a lot of arrows, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
So.
Any final thoughts? Any other questions from the others about Jella's time with Breath of the Wild so far?
Yeah, after talking about this game, it made me appreciate how framing it by playing it when I'm on an airplane and then saving me from 3 hours of boredom makes me appreciate the game a lot more.
So people listening to all of my complaints and stuff about this game have to understand that I am playing this at the end of my day. So I am just trying to unwind and, I just took my shower, ate some dinner, and I'm just relaxing until it's time to go to bed. And all of a sudden this little damn rocketry starts shaking this shit at me. And I'm just like, what is this shit? What is this? Part of my frustration and whatever is because of the time that I'm playing it and the fact that I've had a very long day that has just passed right before this has happened. It's not like I'm playing this, in the middle of the day just because, I have some time. I never have time.
Right.
I never have time. That's the truth.
You should get a Stardew Valley for the Switch then.
No, never.
Nice wind down.
No.
She tried playing that on PC.
I'll throw my Switch. No,
Jolly, you're clipping out the audio by screaming so loud.
I'm mad about it. No.
We should move on.
Yes.
Off of Breath of the Wild. So that's all you've been playing.
That is it. Please move on.
Okay. Ben, I'm curious what you've been up to.
Yeah. So I only got one on my list. I finished Subnautica this last week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. I think I'm done with it now. Now it's done. I don't know if I would go back and play it again or not. It might be interesting to try and do a speed run because once you've beaten the game, you kind of have mastered the world, so you kind of know how to do things more quickly and more efficiently if you play it again. They do a really good job, I think, in terms of the map layout of the world, because of they do a good job of giving you beacons to go to explore the world and kind of guide you in where you're exploring it. But they also do a good job with the design of making it so, how to describe it? The way you explore the world, they know basically how far you're going to go to explore each thing. And mm-hmm. So it's mapped out well, where you are when you're at the end of the game. I don't know how to describe that properly without spoiling things, mm-hmm. I guess. It's also interesting that that's how you progress in the game is exploring. It's that's the gameplay mechanic to it. And there's not a mission you need to go to when you go to this area or whatever. It's just that there's different resources in different areas. And so by finding a new place, you've found new resources and then you can do more things in terms of crafting. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's similar to Minecraft from what I hear, since I still have not played that game yet.
Is this procedurally generated or are you on a fixed map?
It is a fixed map. When you start the game, I think your starting location's randomized, though, to some degree. You're kind of in the same general area, but mm-hmm. that's randomized. So it'll feel like a different game if you start a new one, I think.
Okay.
But you do have a choice in terms of where you build shelters or where you build bases. And that kind of determines, what resources you're going to be close to, I guess. So you kind of have some options with that, and there's different ways you can get energy for your bases, mm-hmm. And so that can kind of determine where you can build as well. I don't know. It's a really good game, especially for $25. I think I got 40-50 hours out of this game, so I think that's a pretty good value for me. But I definitely would recommend this for, I think it kind of qualifies as a scary game in certain places. Uh-huh. I was scared by it. I don't know if that means anything or not, but, I don't know. High recommendation.
Yeah. You've been glowing every time you talked about it.
Yeah. And it's impressive for how they get a lot across with a little amount of work. Like, the narrative is really interesting, despite there only being, like, maybe less than 12 points in the game where there's, like, a narrative beat, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, they do a really good job of, like, of doing a lot out of a little, I guess.
Yeah. That's
all I can say. Yeah. And then the graphics, on top of that, look really great. So, like, the interface is great, and it's the best version of No Man's Sky when you're staying on the same planet.
Yeah, and that's a comparison that I've heard, and that mm-hmm. makes me excited to play Subnautica, because mm-hmm. I was let down by No Man's Sky.
As were most people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Subnautica. Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yeah.
Definitely a buy.
David, how about you?
Honestly, I haven't been too much of note. I mean, still making it through Monster Hunter World. I'm on to the Elder Dragons, which are sort of, some of the kind of the more extreme, monsters in the game. Mm-hmm. My Palico has just unlocked the ability to get in a tank and shoot a cannon at my enemies.
Because of course.
Because of course. And also is currently dressed up as something that looks like a cross between like a furry cosplay unicorn and like one of those dudes from like Dynasty Warriors that has like the long like white like samurai wig.
Okay.
And basically looks like someone raided Bowie's costumes and then stuck on a horn.
Very good.
I know. Other than that, yeah, just killing some things. Mm-hmm. So I continue to feel sorry for a lot of the monsters because a lot of them are totally minding their own business before I start stuff.
Yep. Well, they shouldn't have had such valuable parts.
Yep.
I like that they took the civilization approach where they're totally okay with like tanks fighting dinosaurs by the end of it.
Yeah, it's actually a really weird setting because it's super, super uneven with the technology. Like even for like something that's sort of steampunky and, you know, kind of has like the Final Fantasy thing, like a lot of the time, your character is like, there's definitely like some sort of like Paleolithic culture, you know, like a Native American or even like straight up like, you know, Stone Age, Neanderthal type inspiration. But then like they apparently have developed the theory of evolution and germ theory. Because both of those get referenced at various points. and I guess it's that's the other thing that I find really funny is that like there are several explicit references to evolution. Like you can catch a Archaeopteryx and the person's comments like, oh, it's amazing how it's intermediate area between a bird and a dragon or a bird and a dinosaur. And then like,
I don't play games to learn science. You're like
fighting dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It's really, there's some really weird, like unevenness to the world. So, yeah. Other than that, yeah, it continues to be, just, you know, the same weird, you know, someone told me to kill the thing, therefore I kill the thing.
Yeah. Well, it's cool that you're having a good time, and I'm happy that the Palico continues to be just delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely is good. Oh, I did find something that kind of makes my day. One of the like more in-game monsters in the series is like a Devilajo or something. because all of them have just nonsense names.
Uh-huh.
And one of the food ingredients is a pepper that is you know, so spicy that it you know, can sometimes even cause a devilijo to tear up. It's like, so you're saying that may cause it may a devil may cry.
Oh yeah. Like,
I forgot this is a Capcom game.
I see what you did there. It was a long walk, but
yeah. So just weird stuff continues to be. I do like, I don't know if I said before, I do like the they added in a whole bunch of Horizon Zero Dawn content.
Yeah, that seems strange to me, but also it would make sense in context because of the subject matter. Horizon Zero Dawn was described as being similar to Monster Hunter in a couple of ways. But like, there's no publisher, like they don't share a publisher or anything. Like, I don't know what that relationship is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was pretty much just like, hey, here's a cool thing. You want to do it?
Why not?
But I do like you. I can make my Palico look like the little, where they call them like watchers, the little velociraptor things in Zero Dawn.
Nice.
Although, despite being entirely robotic, it still has a little cat bell. So that, you know, gotta be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, things are just doing the things.
Yeah.
So have you gone any farther in it?
No, I haven't been. I haven't been around. like I was away for a good portion of last week, so no more progress on that. For me, because I was away, I've been playing stuff on my Switch. I played a lot of Picross S, which is an $8 Picross game on the Nintendo Switch. And boy, that sure is a Picross game. they're really fun to do, and it times you, and you want to make sure you do them quickly so you can do more Picross puzzles. I don't feel like explaining the rules of Picross. I feel like I have talked about Picross a lot. I've played this game for a long time. Like, it's been out for a while, and I pretty much always pick it up and put it down. I just decided to finish all 150 regular puzzles, and I've moved on to the Mega Picross. So
I can't tell if this is like a good review for it or like a cry from help. Like, I'm addicted to Picross. Like, I'm not going to stop playing this game.
I mean, interpret it as you will. I'm not going to step in here and tell you what to do. No, Picross is something that I just do a lot of every once in a while. I get my fill and put it down and think, I do not want to play Picross. But then, you know, you just get those fevers, and I've had the fever.
You know, the word Picross has lost all meaning to me. I don't even know what a Picross is, and I think I've gone through this entire conversation with you before about not knowing what the fuck a Picross is. But that is okay. I don't need to know. You can move on.
No, Picross is fun. It's a good little puzzle game. It's like a more visually minded Sudoku kind of idea, because you come up with a little piece of pixel art at the end.
That's nice.
Yeah. Other than that, another reason why I've not been playing Monster Hunter World is because after Prey, I wanted something that where I could turn my brain off. So I decided to pick up and play Doom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 2016 Doom that I've had for a while.
Giving a good review or a bad review to Doom?
No, I like it. It's a good deal of fun. I mean, a lot of people hyped it up, but yeah, it is a good, fast paced, dumb as rocks game. And I think that the thing that I'm most impressed with, you know, is not the way that they have managed to capture the feel of the original Doom and this kind of, you know, hyper detailed visual style. It's not how they have brought a new kind of loop to first person play by having the trade off between risk and health rewards and stuff like that. No, the thing that impresses me the most is the animation of your dude and the way he interacts with the world.
Whereby you mean like crushing things?
Yes. So
fist bumping dolls.
Yeah, fist bumping. So everybody, when they were talking about this game when it came out, mentioned that like, oh, there's a beat early on where like somebody is talking to you over a video monitor, and your guy, you know, does exactly what the player would want to do. And instead of listening to that, he just punches through the screen, and then he goes on. Okay, yeah. They must have found the most pissed off man in the world. I was about to say America. They must have found the most pissed off person, gotten them to do motion capture, and then had them like watch and say, no, 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 you got this all wrong. I would crush this thing this way. I would tear off this demon's skull this way. The way they have managed to capture in first person by these animations, how the Doom guy, his internal world is admirable, I think. No, it's good. I'm about like a quarter of the way through it. A quarter, one third. I just got through the portal into hell. It gives you an idea. I was a little bit disappointed because, like, in one of the levels that I just finished, you get like double jump boots, and that normally is fine. But like, I don't want to do platforming in my Doom game. I kind of want to like run around these arenas and shoot a bunch of stuff.
True.
And like you can work that into your pathways and things. But like the level that it was in was mostly about like clearing long gaps and finding ways around. It was like, oh, this is not what I want in my Doom game.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think I know the level you're talking about. Yeah. It's that, I think that's probably the level where they just show that off, and then it's not as pronounced in the later levels.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit later on, it gets a little bit more like traversally, where it's more like pulling kind of the searching for secrets type thing, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually being platformery, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm down with that. I like looking for secrets in a Doom because usually it gets you weapons early. yeah, it's fun. When I talked about like that new loop kind of idea, and I'm sure everybody is like a lot of this, but the way that they incentivize you to do those glory kills, by which I mean, you know, you do enough damage to an enemy to make them flash. You go up into your melee and your character does like an instant kill. I mean, yeah, it's impressive the number of animations they have for ripping a demon apart. But like the fact that they enforce that as part of the loop, because that is how you heal yourself, is mm-hmm. by doing that so they drop more health.
Or getting more ammo, right?
I mean, ammo is like another thing, like the way that they give you the chainsaw gas and say, all right, go out there. This is ammo that can turn into any other kind of ammo. Just mm-hmm. be cautious about it because you only get so many charges for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like just, I think that those are really, really canny little things that actually like bring texture. When I say this game is dumb as rocks, and that's kind of doing a disservice to it, because like that is a smart design choice that I think is subtle in a game that is absolutely not subtle about anything at all.
I mean, it's made by a company called id Software, so
yeah. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to seeing it through to the end and seeing how all my favorite Doom monsters are going to be updated and, you know, brought into this new thing. So
I do think like even the very first bad guys where it's like all they do is throw fireballs at you as just a way to get you to keep moving. Like that's a really cool intro bad guy.
Yep. And then you see the imps or the possessed kind of just like they start clinging to walls. So you think, mm-hmm. oh, where is this fire coming from? No, they're like they're holding onto the wall and like lobbing these balls at you from above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's it for now. I've been dabbling a little bit in Celeste, but I don't think that I have enough enough into it to be able to speak cogently about it.
I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that, because I was rated like a 10 out of 10 on IGN for their game reviews.
Yeah, it's a bit of a darling, and people speak about it glowingly.
What is it broadly?
Think it is a like an introduction to Masocore platformer games, where. Okay. It is very much like think like a Meat Boy, except okay. instead of having individual discrete levels, like you are trying to traverse up a mountain, and you know through the caverns and stuff that are in it.
So it's like a mix between Super Meat Boy and Getting Over It.
A little bit, yeah. and like Getting Over It, it is about you know the struggle against the impossible. Yeah, but I will have more to say about that later.
Yay.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's a show. Do you all want to button it up?
Buttons.
the credit. You said that like the toasty guy in Mortal Kombat.
I suppose so.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this level number 232. We really appreciate it. If you would like to help us out, go to our Facebook page and like that. Participate in the multiplayers when they go up on Monday afternoons. And please tell your friends. And you know what? Ratings on iTunes or Google Play, those help too. You know, just in case. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's about everything I want to say for now.
Okay.
So I've been Cole Ross. You can follow me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been David Mysmith. I am still on the internet.
Haven't kicked that addiction yet.
I should hope so. Otherwise, we would not be speaking to you right now, David. Anyway, I am Jellichon in places.
Ben Merkel at MerkelB on Twitch.
Yep. And stick around for some titles. Okay, I only have one, the Turtle and the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, I had that also.
Okay.
I also had Year of the Tina.
All right.
And it wasn't a mistake for the first 35 hours.
Was that the last one? I'm sorry.
No, and then also the original Don't Tree.
Nice. So I had three. I had Dennis is a unicorn. Turtle looking thing. And this one's a little long, but My Violent Tendencies and Murderous Heart.
Ben?
All right. I also had Year of the Tina. I had The Most Hateful Ocean.
What?
Because I believe this happened in the pre-roll. You ask, what's the most hateful ocean?
Oh, okay.
And then yes, of where I was throwing my switch.
Right.
And I also have I'm King Boo.
So the ones with votes are The Turtle and the Good Samaritan or Year of the Tina. Year of the Tina is very funny and also relates to the banter at the start.
I feel like we have a lot of good choices, so I'm fine with anything.
anything from down further in the list. So wasn't a mistake for the first 35 hours, the original Don't Tree, which I think was in a part that wasn't recorded.
Got cut.
Sorry. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Dennis is a unicorn, turtle looking thing. I also like My Violent Tendencies and Murderous Heart.
That's like me always. Like
it's like a Queens of the Stone Age album title.
The most hateful ocean. I think I'm going to make a poll for My Violent Tendencies and Murderous Heart. I think that's good. That is a poetic statement.
Sure, let's put
is
it
everything
out.
Okay, cool. I can support that.
No, it's not Cole you need to worry about. Or maybe it is, actually.
Who knows? I don't know.
Cole, is it your fault today?
I don't know. Oh, cool.
That's right. We were blaming Dennis.
Yes.
It's Dennis's fault.
There we go. Yes, because he is not here. Cool. Well, I'm going to go to bed.
I'm going to go take a shower if our water is working. Yay! Oh, I forgot to tell you that. The water's not working all of today.
Fingers crossed. Knocking on my desk.
I would like a shower.
Yeah. Were your fingers crossed when you were knocking on your desk?
No, it was subsequent actions. I did them in sequence, not in parallel.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Night, guys. Take care, everybody.
Have a good week.
Later, David. Bye.